I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Would people buy our faith based on your free sample? Now, once upon a time, there was a small city in ancient Turkey with a textile industry producing a popular scarlet wool called colocynium. It was made from a purple dye called colocynus. So they named the little city Colossae, and it became very wealthy, attracting a diverse mix of cultures and spiritual beliefs. Its people were known as Colossians, and many became Christians, but they were bombarded with an onslaught of spiritual ideologies and began to buy into the notion of combining religious views. Their Christian ranks were quickly shot down, picked off, and driven back by a barrage of high-sounding nonsense and self-centered beliefs. And then they were gone. Yes, the rich little textile city was destroyed by an earthquake about 62 AD. And now from 60 to 62, as you might recall from last week, the Apostle Paul was confined to his house in Rome. That's where, just before the quake, a faithful minister named Epaphras came to Paul from Colossae to report the spiritual warfare and to send back some reinforcement for their faith. Thus, Paul's letter to the embattled believers in Colossae, whose ranks were being blown away by every wind of doctrine. Paul writes in chapter 1 of Colossians, "To God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful, we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. You learned the true gospel and God's grace from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord." And you know, when we were taking our road trip through the Bible a few years ago, I happened to pick up Epaphras on his way to the book of Colossians.
If you ever plan to mow the west, travel my way on the highway, that's the best. Get more than kicks on this Route 66.
Post.
Okay. We need him to dispatch an epistle to our people.
What's left of them?
What happened to your people? The lucky ones were captured by empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense. We can get them back. A handful are hidden in Christ.
But they don't have any provisions.
What about the rest of them? Gone. Dead to the word. They were bombarded by Gnosticism, humanism, and legalism.
It was a massacre!
Oh, I'm hit. Oh, Emperor Frost. I'm hit. Oh. I've been indoctrinated.
Oh. How deep is it?
Oh, it's bad. It's bad, Sarge. It's self-serving intellectualism.
Hang on, man. Hang on to your faith. Paul, come in. We need a defense.
We're losing the blood of Christ back here.
He bought it! Tempebras! He bought it!
This letter made its way to Colossae in its final days. And Paul's main point is this. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. See, now there were just too many distortions to debate or debunk each one individually. So Paul emphasizes the one common denominator. All heresies diminish the supremacy of Christ. And since the best defense is a good offense, Paul arms the Colossians with increased understanding of what Jesus is, writing, "He is the image of the invisible God. All things were created by him and for him. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." You see, the only way to stand firm and stay true and not be taken captive by talk show philosophies, pseudo-spirituality, and secular self-helpers is to know exactly who Jesus is and what only he can offer. Redemption and the forgiveness of sins. There's a simple test to discern what Paul calls high-sounding nonsense. Just ask, does it affirm God's fullness in Jesus and redemption and forgiveness by his blood? You see, it's an all-or-nothing deal. Not much middle ground here. Take it or leave it. But don't mix and match it. If Christ isn't everything, then he's nothing. Paul writes, "But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed." Remember, it's a process. It's a process like the faith muscle that we talked about last Sunday that we work out so he can work in us. "In knowledge, being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." I want you to imagine soldiers changing into clean uniforms. But instead of removing their muddy clothes, they try to force them over the new ones. Wait, did I say that right? They try to force their new clothes over the muddy ones. I think I said that backwards. We do this when we walk in faith without letting Jesus strip away our unsuitables. Paul writes, "Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." You see, this is the appealing apparel that we will naturally begin donning when the supremacy of Christ begins dawning on us and ruling in us When my son, Keaton, was small, oh, this is a horrible story. When my son was small, he was playing in the backyard with a stick. We took it away from him and warned him of the danger. He played in the backyard some more and then came in the house with a bleeding scrape on the side of his neck. He had found another stick, went down the slide with it. The stick stuck and stopped while he flew forward. I mean, just how much further? Some believers fear that God wants us to give up all our fun stuff when he just wants to keep us from wounding ourselves. True faith is not a series of giving ups. It's a sequence of growing ups, maturing, conquering, taking ground. Paul wants us grounded in Christ and growing in our convictions. He writes, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted, grounded, and built up, growing in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness." And you see, this grounding and growing comes from knowing his word. And we finally have time, don't we? No, and no excuses. So we can't really deceive ourselves right now thinking, well, if I had more time, because you do, and so do I. So if you're a pretend Christian, a mix and match of whatever from wherever, stop pretending, because you're only fooling yourself. Accept it, embrace it, and live according to it. Or don't. But either of those is far better than buying a lie and deceiving yourself. You see, the closer we come to Jesus, the more we just lose interest in playing with things that can only end in pain for us and for others. Paul writes, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders." How? Well, he says, "Make the most of every opportunity." How? Well, he says, "Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt." If the world is a bar, think of yourself as the pretzels, so that you may know how to answer everyone, because no one refuses perfectly salted grace. It's gluten-free. So I'll ask, is your speech full of grace? Well, you know, usually except when I'm upset, you know, really upset or angry. But you see, that's the only time it's actually grace. Grace is only grace when you don't want to give it. And that requires a selfless compassion. And that requires the supremacy of Christ firmly ruling from deep within. Now, salt, very famous for four big things that it does really well. It makes things tastier. It makes folks thirstier. It melts what's frozen. And it preserves pickles and olives and meat and just about anything and everything. Now, in order for our faith to have the same effect, to make things tastier, to make folks thirstier, to melt what's frozen and to preserve, to have our faith have the same effect, especially while we're confined in close quarters with others, keep this in mind. A little salt goes a long way. And so does a little of you. a little of me goes a long way. And especially when we're together in tight quarters. Faith isn't meant to be pushed on or shoved down anyone. Salt can also raise blood pressure. It's meant to be set out for people to sample as they consider their options for quenching their deepest, driest thirst. We don't tell others what's wrong with them. No, we learn to share what's up with us and how Jesus quenches our thirst and causes us to grow. You see, a balanced believer is sweet and salty. I guarantee everyone you know has a sweet tooth for grace and a profound craving for the salt of truth. And you'll have your own unique blend of sweet and salty. It's like Chex Mix. You ever notice how everyone's Chex Mix tastes just a little different, even though everyone's using the same basic recipe on the box? So don't compare yourself to what's in someone else's bowl. Put your own mix out there with conviction and confidence. Epaphras stayed in Rome to assist Paul, but his heart remained back home with his fellow Christian soldiers, marching onward in God's word while under attack and being bombarded. In Paul's closing, he says, "Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured." And that's my prayer for you as well. So let's pray together right now. Father God, thank you for your gracious, patient love. We praise you and worship you and strive to love more like you. Holy Spirit, strengthen us through your word so we can quickly discern the many deceptions that bombard us on a daily basis. Lord Jesus, we know and declare that you are our everything. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.